Our scripture reading today is from Genesis 2, and you're welcome to follow as it comes up on the screen. This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth. For the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the soil. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. If I would have to ask the question, what would your answer be to what is the most important thing to you in your life? Right now. Maybe I can go a step further. If I had to ask, what's most important, making money or being devoted to your family, what would your answer be? I think almost all of us would answer family. Or if I would ask the question, does the approval of strangers or the people closest to me mean the most? I also think all of us would answer those the closest to me. But why is it that somehow our behaviors often contradict these answers? When we spend our time and energy, it seems like we do it in a different way to what we really want in life. We work long hours. We care about what other people think and say. Oscar Wilde once said, in this world there are two tragedies, the one where everyone gets what they want and the other where no one gets it. And I think he was trying to warn us that we live with so many desires. We want so many things. And we can try to superficially silence some of those desires, but there's something more. There are desires and longings in us that lie so much deeper. And many times we sacrifice so much on the altar of our life to silence the superficial desires, but we're still left with a deep hunger or longing. And here's the reality. A part of that longing deep down in our soul is for meaning, for the knowledge that my life matters. And in today's scripture, the good news comes to each one of us. Your life does matter. You are made for more. You are made with meaning. You have been called. You have a calling. You are here to reflect something of the image of God in this world in a very unique way, a way that only you can. And He has given you everything in your life, everything you need to live out this calling. He's given you a place, your gifts, passions, your personality, resources, everything so that you can be His unique image bearer in this world. And it's an adventure. It's an adventure to go on this journey with Him, to discover more of who He is, who I am, who He has created me to be, so that I can come to that calling and respond to that voice and do what He has created me to do. And today, three invitations on this adventure. The first is to hear His voice. When I first became a Christian, I thought that only some people receive a calling from God, and these are the people who will work full time for him. But since then, I have luckily developed a completely different way of thinking and insight from scriptures, from experience, that God calls every single person and that everyone works full time for him. All of us work full time for God. Whether you're a doctor, a teacher, a cashier, a bookkeeper, we are all working full time for the Lord. And he calls each one of us to do something with him. And eventually we will come to a place in our life where we will hear his voice telling us, his voice calling us, saying, I have a unique plan for you. And in today's world, it's a journey to get to know his voice and to distinguish his voice between all the voices of our life. Because we have so many, the voice of the world, the voice of our longings, the voice of our hearts, our emotions, and then God's voice. But his voice, here's the thing, his voice comes in so many ways to our life. Just look at the creation story. His voice came in various ways to man. It came with guidance. I've given you everything, but don't eat the fruit of the two trees in the Garden of Eden. His voice comes as invitations. It's not good that you're alone. I wonder if Adam in that moment, when God noticed that it's not good that he's alone, Adam was in contact with a desire in his heart that he has a longing to be with someone. God's voice came with questions. In Genesis 3, we see God asks them, why are you hiding? What are you hiding from? Oh, I'm in a certain place in my life where I'm hiding. An awareness comes. His voice can come in so many ways. It can come through our emotions and thoughts. Have you taken note of the nature of your thoughts? What are some of the themes and patterns? It's important to find out if it is the voice of God coming to you. Because if I walk with the thought pattern, I'm not good enough, I'm a nobody, that's not God's voice. His voice says, you are my beloved child in whom I delight. That's his voice. His voice comes to us on the journey in self-knowledge. Oh, it's not good when I do this. Oh, it's wonderful when I do this. It's not that good when I do that. It's not life-giving. In that way, we can ask, Lord, what is necessary for my life right now? Listen to the voice. Sometimes this voice manifests in an inner longing that's inside of you. I'm looking for community. I'm looking for a place where I feel I fit in. I've always felt I'm a square peg in a round hole. I'm looking for my place. Sometimes it's a deep longing for intimacy. I want to connect. I feel so alone. Sometimes it's a longing to give yourself totally to something that is bigger than yourself. His voice calling you to live outside of yourself. His voice comes as messengers. Other people, the voice of other people, the guidance of other people whom you trust, who knows you, who also live with God. His voice comes through the messengers of experience, the experiences of our lives. His voice comes through the messengers of scriptures. His word, his voice comes through his word, through nature. My body, that's nature. When my body is tired and burnt out, that's a messenger from God saying, hey, stop, pause. The messenger of life experiences has taught me that I shouldn't make a decision when I'm going through a really tough time. My track record shows that my tendency is that I make hasty, unwise choices that don't advance my life with them. It's not wholesome for my calling, what he's calling me to do. He calls us. He's calling you. Have you heard that voice? Have you listened to that voice? It can't be silenced by anything but God and you responding to that voice. And that's the second invitation, to respond to his voice by discovering your calling, reacting to this call, to that voice calling you. Discover. It's an adventure, as I said. To discover means I look at my life and calling as all-encompassing. Your entire life is important to God. Your entire life. That includes everything about you, your work, your passions, your roles, your gifts. Did you notice how God included all the dimensions of the human's life in his calling to live as his image bearer in our scripture today? He gives him a place, a home in the garden. That's his home. That's his house. In that place, he will be a man. He will later be a father. He will be a husband. He has responsibilities. God gives him a task, a job, maintain, cultivate, tend to this garden. He has responsibilities because he's appointed. He has a role to play in this creation story with all its different aspects. God gives him resources. He gives him giftings and passions. He gifts him with wisdom and creativity because he has to creatively and wisely come up with names for animals and birds. God gives him a vision for his life, a life that looks outwards rather than just inwards. And all these things work together for man to experience meaning and to grow into his calling. His whole life is included in God's calling and plan. And that is also true for us. And perhaps I can illustrate this with a diagram that Dallas Willard drew on a napkin for Trevor Hudson, and Trevor shared it with our community. And this diagram just captured our imagination. And it has become a pair of glasses or lenses, a way of looking at life in its entirety. Looking at a life that is entirely turned towards God. And it's a very simple diagram. It brings together the different circles of our life in which you and I live daily. The first circle is that of your job. Your job is what you do to get money to make a living. And someone writes and says that work has become the new religion of our time. So many people say we offer everything on the altar of our work. That's where some of us find my identity. My world, time, energy revolves around my work. I am my work. And we know that that way of looking and working has an enormous effect on our life and our relationships. It's unhealthy. It's not good. But does that mean we shouldn't work? No. Our work is important to God. Our work is part of our calling. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Because there were a lot of people who wanted to become very spiritual and said, we're only going to live in faith. We're not going to work anymore. And Paul says, no, you must work. That's God's way of looking after us and caring for us is also through our work. Work isn't evil. But there's a way we are invited in our calling to approach our work. And it reminds me of a story of three guys working, three builders. The first one is asked, what are you doing? And he says, I'm placing one brick on another. They go to the second one, they ask, what are you doing? And he says, I'm taking care of my family by doing this. Now you can hear, it's not just brick by brick. There's something bigger, there's a bigger imagination. And they go to the third one. They ask him, what are you doing? He says, I'm building a house for God. There's a different lens, a different approach to his work, a different mindset. regarding his work. And that is our invitation. Your work is part of your calling, God's calling. The second circle is that of your ministry. Your ministry is when you use your gifts and what you have to meet the needs of people in the name of God. And for the Lord's sake, a ministry can come into being as I share my gifts. Paul writes to an ordinary believer in Colossians, Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received in the Lord. Some translation says, pay attention to your ministry so that it can be fulfilled. Each one of us has a ministry. We've received gifts from God, unique gifts. Yours and mine are different, and he calls us to share in his kingdom and build his kingdom, and those gifts play a part. And as Paul writes and says this to Archippus, he's also saying that we must pay attention to our ministry that we've received. The gifts that we have, that you have, are an indication of how God wants to use you in his kingdom. So discover them. Develop them. Start serving. Start doing something in your local community or church. Because when you start doing, you realize, oh, wow, I'm actually really good at doing these things. I'm a little less, that's not great. And as I continue to do it, I realize I'm not just good at it. I get life while I'm busy doing it. That's an indication of your gifts and your passion coming together. And you're invited to focus on that. Because when you start shifting your energy to that place, then you start ministering, meeting needs with loving deeds. And then each of us gets to a place where we can serve and minister without fear of burnout. We become very, very effective in the kingdom of God. We take hands as his body to do his work and ministry in this world. Then each of us has a life work that we're called to do. That's the next circle. And this is to do with the different roles in our life. You're a citizen, you're a dad, you are a husband, you're an employer. You have so many roles and facets. And I think this is one of the big challenges in today's time. We take on so many roles in our life. We want to do so much that we neglect some of the very important roles we have. One of my friends tells me about how he visited a home for the elderly and how saddened he was when he saw how many people there are who hadn't seen or heard from family members in weeks or months. That's a role that someone had neglected, a role to care for their parents. We have so many roles and facets in our life that we need to develop and need to take this responsibility for. That forms part of our calling. And then the last circle is that of our life. It's your sleeping, eating, drinking, hobbies, time. I think of the scriptures. Do everything as if for the Lord. And now, how many facets of our lives do we cut off or ignore due to the overemphasis of our work or life task circles? But your life is bigger. I can just hear Paul's words. He says, your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Live openly. Live expansively. Open your life. You are called to live and become fully you in this life because then you can contribute the best way possible. When you can become completely you, there's a wonderful gift that comes to this world because no one can do exactly what you can do in this life. And so the question is, when you look at these life circles, when you look at your calling, what does it look like? How do these circles, these facets, these dimensions of your life function? A good exercise is to draw the circles of your calling. Maybe give it to your partner or someone you spend a lot of time with and ask them, how do they experience, what are the experience of this in your life? What does it look like to them? How is it functioning? How's it going? And then the question is, what do you want it to look like? Where do you feel God is inviting you to move towards? Because then we start living our calling. Live your calling. That's the third invitation. And this is an important invitation because life happens. And there will come times when we have to be reminded of the calling and choose the calling again. Our life phases change. Our circumstances change. In the first third of our life, we might see the work circle of my life is bigger than the ministry circle. In the last third of my life, I can start to facet. I can see, oh, I can write that book. I can paint that painting. I can write that song that has been living in me for years. But this doesn't mean that the other circles of life fall away. Living your calling means I go and discover with God what needs to look differently. Yes, if my energy and capacity is focused in the first third of my life in my workplace, that doesn't mean I can't use my gifts. No, I can use my gifts there. I can serve. I can grow in a mindset. How do I start doing my work as if for God? Oh, I'm a parent now of three children. What does ministry look like in your house? Or your parents are in a new phase of life. And a new role asks of you that you need to take care of them. How does ministry look there? How can you serve them with your gifts? Throughout our lives, our circumstances and the manner in which we live out our calling change, but the calling itself does not change. The calling remains. Man chose against calling in the beginning in our scripture a few times. Adam and Eve ate from the tree that they weren't allowed to. Their children fell into brokenness. It ends in murder. Cain kills Abel. God doesn't give up. He reminds them again and again, you were made for more. So hear the word today. Even if you've made wrong decisions, even if you've eaten the fruit that you shouldn't have, even if your children has gone astray, even if you are dealing with the loss of a loved one, the calling remains. You are called. You are called. Live your calling. The calling remains. Several hundred years ago, Ignatius tried to sum it up in a few words that helped him remember what the calling is. And maybe it is helpful. It has been so helpful to me when life has happened and I had to be reminded, I'm living the calling, the essence. This is it. The goal of your life is to live with me forever. This is God speaking. I gave you life because I love you. All the things in this world are my gifts presented to you so that you can know me more easily and return your love to me more readily. But if any of my gifts become the center of your life, they displace me and hinder your growth towards your goal. Your only desire should be this: to want and to choose what better leads to my deepening my life in you. That is what we are called for. That is the bottom line. That is the essence. Life with God. And today you and I are invited to once again listen. Listen to his voice. Listen to the movements inside of you. Listen to your soul. What are you longing for? Have you listened to your life? Look at your life. What is your life inviting you to? Where is God busy? What is he calling you towards? Maybe you're in a place where you say, I've heard this call. I haven't responded and I want to respond to this calling. He's been calling me all my life. Maybe you're in a place where you realize, oh, my life is so big. It's expansive and I've been living it in a small way. God, I want to turn my life in its entirety towards you. Your whole life is important to God, not just parts of it. Not just parts. And you can intentionally interact with him in every part of your life. Maybe you're in a place where you realize some of the gifts that God has given me has become the center. They've displaced him. and to ask him, Lord, I want to make you the center again. I want to say yes to this calling. I want to respond. Guide me so that I can become who I should be, who you've created me to be, so that I can live with you and do and work with you and experience your kingdom come. And Lord, you know the desires of our heart. You know where each one of us find ourselves today. You know what we need. Thank you that you've given us our life. Thank you that our entire life is important to you. You know, Lord, what the next step or invitation for each one of us is in this life. And I ask that you will give us wisdom and grace, courage to take that first step and respond, to go on this adventure with you, and to know you more, love you more, follow you more closely. May your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like someone to pray with you today, you're so welcome to contact us. Some of our team members are ready to connect with you online or in person. Receive the blessing. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit remain with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.